Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 608. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I would just like to say, for once and for all of time, fuck Madden!
Bro,
we will get into Tony's displeasure with Madden shortly. Jeff is here.
Yo.
Earl is not. He is off in California. I think he's currently in L.A., exploring there, having a good old time, and missing a, I mean, not a heavy news week, but there was some interesting stuff that dropped this week, including the very weird Bayonetta 3 voice acting controversy.
Oh my god, this is the oddest story ever.
See, this is why you can't get excited about anything or you know, get too involved, because the story could evolve on you.
It's not that the story evolves, right? It's that you don't have the whole story, and people are willing to react in a very particular way to certain
things. And then there's people that won't budge on it. Like, I see the replies, and this guy was like, dude, Jason Schreier reported that, you know, it's inaccurate what she's saying or whatever. And they're like, uh-huh, Jason Schreier, uh-huh. It's just like, dude, maybe she made it up. Maybe she doesn't have all her facts straight. Imagine that. Like, it sounded insane to me, because I guess we should explain what the story is.
So, Helena Taylor, who is the original voice actor for Bayonetta, she posted a 4-minute video or something, basically giving her side of why she is no longer the voice of Bayonetta, because that has been taken over by Jennifer Hale for Bayonetta 3. The original reasoning that was released from Platinum was that there were scheduling conflicts, which is normal, you know, in the industry. Like, you know, that person can't return, scheduling conflicts. But we're releasing this anyway. She is contending that she was lowballed on the offer. She was offered $4,000 for the entire job.
We
should get paid more, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I don't think anybody's disputing that voice actors should be paid more.
Yes. And the way it sounded like she was saying it was $4,000 for the entire game, which everyone instantly react. They're like, that is terrible. Crazy. How on earth could they make that kind of offer? And then there was something about her saying that this was the second offer that she'd received.
Yes.
Like that they had gone even lower on the first offer. And the internet erupted.
The internet erupted. It went completely off the wall. Like, they basically chased Kamiya off of Twitter briefly. He came back, but the director or main producer for Platinum, made a comment and then backed off and, like, deleted his Twitter account completely.
Probably not entirely his call to, like, what voice actors are getting paid on the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Right. I mean, they're, like, you know, one guy in there. He's not the one that's like,
hey,
Helena, we're going to pay you $4,000.
Twitter's got to have someone's head, man.
Right. And you're going to go to the guy who's the face of it, right? Like, you know, if this was a Kojima game, you're going to go at Kojima. If it was a, you know, Cliff Bleszinski game, you're going to go at Cliff. Like, regardless of whether they're really the, you know, they're not funding this themselves. but it does seem weird coming from Nintendo and Platinum for a game. I mean, Bayonetta is not a huge game, but it's well known. $4,000 seems really low for a named character,
right?
In its third game,
like, it's going to be like days of work. Like, it's not like you're getting $4,000 for, like,
say, it's a me, a Mario.
Exactly. Right. It's going to be a bunch of sessions, and I think it came out, it was supposed to be like 6 4-hour sessions.
That, like, we get $4,000 a piece for, with, I believe, if I read it right, like, royalties too.
I don't know that royalties was part of it, but it was definitely, like, much, much more than she made it seem to be.
It's also more than she was previously paid for Bayonetta 1 and 2. So
yes.
Right. And Jason Schreier, he's protecting his sources as any good journalist would do, but he's saying like he has seen documentation that was offered to her. This has been verified by other reporters as well. And of course, Selena Taylor is going, no, that's incorrect. So like he said, she said situation.
Right. And the company can't release this kind of stuff, but she is sitting on the offer. She has the paperwork. She could just say, look here, it says what I said.
Right. Especially since she's already broken her NDA.
That's right.
Like at this point, just release what paperwork you have, and then Schreier or another journalist can verify that, and we can at least, if you are trying to paint a picture of this was what I was charged, and like you kind of need to at this point put up your evidence at least to, you don't have to put it publicly to us, but you know, to somebody doing the investigative work. It's very, very wild.
I think there's something wrong with her. I don't know. Like, it seems weird. Like, the whole thing.
And she waited. What? She didn't do this when they were choosing the voice actress, right? She did it when the game was about to release. I don't know that there's. Sour, this was just her attempt at revenge.
Like, sour grapes, yeah.
Like, you did not give me the offer I wanted to. I'm going to fuck you. In the best possible way I can fuck you. I just don't think that she realized that, like, yes, they too can go to journalists with information and have it verified, whereas you just look like a crank.
Yeah. Especially, yeah. I saw that people were posting, like, things she said on Twitter. She's kind of like a right-winger.
Yeah. You
know, saying insane things. That shouldn't. I'm not saying she shouldn't get paid or whatever because of that. I'm just saying she seems a little off. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not all the screws are tight in.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think one good thing that did come out of this is that we don't get a lot of news on like what voice acting, like what that pays. I guess it has been revealed that it's a little under $1,000 for a 4-hour session of voice work is like union rate.
Yeah.
Like somebody like her, not necessarily like Kalina Taylor, but for a character like that, a recurring character in a franchise that has, you know, an audience, they're normally paid more than that. Which seems like if you believe Platinum Side, which has been verified at least by multiple journalists, she was paid 4 times the union rate.
And I think the other part was her demands were like so far beyond anything that any other voice actor would make.
She wanted benefits
and like it was a whole lot of things that aren't part of the voice actor union's deal. Like, she wanted so much more than that. Of course they said no. Of course they did.
Right. Like, one, like, if, you know, you're part of the union and you're going to go that far outside of what union scale is, you know, nobody's going to buy into that. That's why there's the union. Evidently, that union contract is coming to an end soon, so some people think she might be doing this to get whatever the rate is up there, but it doesn't seem to help her any here.
That's how that works.
Right. Like,
the union will negotiate what they can get. Like, it's not like.
And in the meantime, Jennifer Hale has kind of been thrown under the bus. Like, people were attacking her, and like, I mean, she just took a job. And I mean, you know, what we know of how she's worked in the past is that if she is taking over a role that's been done by somebody else, she normally, you know, works with between agents to make sure that it is okay, that she is, that other person is not coming back, that they're not doing this to just get Jennifer Hale. So she seems like she's up and up, but because of that post by Helena Taylor, like, she got a lot of shit thrown at her. Probably unfairly.
I'd say for sure. You know, she just took a job, and
she took a job.
Great opportunity. Offered her,
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
How dare she?
Right.
How dare she?
You guys are still boycotting the game, though, right?
I mean, I wasn't going to buy it originally.
See, like, he's boycotting it, guys. He's boycotting it.
Yes, and I'm.
I'm with Chris. I was not going to buy it. I'm probably still not going to buy it now, but meh.
I was going to buy it, and I was never not going to buy it.
Yeah, I don't think, like, I mean, maybe it did sway some people. Like, I don't know. I have my experience with online boycotts is that they don't really work.
They're louder than actual reality.
Because a lot of these people, most are people like, in real life, oh, have no
idea. Most people who buy this game will have never heard this story. So right.
When, and even the people that have, like, you know, people are talking about it, like, they go, yeah, I'm not going to buy it. And then it's out for 2 weeks and then they buy it.
Yeah. The thing is I'll never, you know, every game, every movie, anything that you buy, there's someone getting fucked over. You know, there's something you are not going to approve of happening behind the scenes. And so if you start becoming like an activist about what you buy, it's just like, I got bad news for you, man. There's dark, bad shit behind everything. And, you know, in my opinion, just do what you like. You're not hurting anybody. Like, it's not your fault.
Your $60 isn't doing anything one way or the other.
Live your life, man. That's where I've landed on everything. But
everything is fair game for Jeff.
Yeah. But it's an interesting story. Because when it first came out, I took her at her word, and I was like, man, I knew, like, voice acting was a tough, you know, tough career, but damn, man, that's, like, real low pay, especially when you consider, like, you're probably not always working, right?
Right. But it's a really interesting time for it to come out, too, because, you know, Chris Pratt has been, like, you know, not necessarily Chris Pratt himself, but him as the voice actor for Mario in the Mario movie has, like, made headlines with people going, you know, why are we not giving real voice acting roles to actual voice actors instead of Chris Pratt? We talked about this, I think, last week. Like, I mean, Chris Pratt he has done voice work before, but
yeah, like there's plenty of voice actors who are nobody who
right,
that they're paid less, yeah, do a better job probably. So
right,
yeah, it's tough. I'd switch careers or use it as a side gig.
Yeah, so I think a lot of them do. Like probably, they do voice work, and then you know they're also doing like actual acting, theater work. Acting's tough. Like, if you are not a big name person, like, it is a hard profession and a hard industry to work in. So, I'm sure we're going to hear more of whatever that thing was, though, because wow, what a crazy story popped out there. And then there was a weird, I think it was a half hour, maybe, Silent Hill showcase franchise that has been dead for 10 years, but always has a fan base clamoring for any news on it. And Konami is finally, they're bringing it back.
Live. It's more than live. I didn't watch it, but it seems like a lot. A lot is coming.
A lot of different stuff coming. Silent Hill 2 remake from a Blooper Team. Bloober Team. I typed it into our chat, Blooper, and then I read something. I was like, oh, it's not Blooper. they did The Medium, which was, came out last year. It was one of the first like Series X games that came out. Did not really showcase the system or the PS5 when it finally hit that. But it's a decent enough horror type game. Although there are some people that have some issues with it because of the way that game ends. And having this team on another game that deals with mental illness, maybe not a great go, but so they're doing that. There is a game called Silent Hill F, which is being done by a Japanese team. And that seems to be like the continuation of Silent Hill. So that seems a little interesting. Then there's one called Silent Hill Townfall, which is being directed by, being produced by Annapurna. And developed by No Code, who did a little adventure game called Stories Untold, which was neat. So that's interesting. There's something else I think I'm missing here. Oh, there's the movie. There's a movie coming out.
I saw it's the same director as Silent Hill, like the old Silent Hill movie.
Oh, I don't know. I did not look that far into it.
I want to say I saw that. I could be wrong. And I want to say it might... You know what? I'm not going to say any more than that. But I think it is directed by Christopher Gans, who directed Silent Hill in 2006.
Yep. So he made the original Silent Hill movie. This is called Return to Silent Hill. I don't know.
I think it... Again, this is like me basing off something I saw yesterday, so I could be wrong. But I think it's based more so on one of the games, like possibly two. But I could be wrong. But yes,
it will follow. Return to Silent Hill will follow a similar plot to the original Silent Hill 2 game,
which I thought had a really cool story. So
yeah, and the if I remember correctly, the original Silent Hill movie kind of followed the original Silent Hill
story.
And then the sequel was more like Silent Hill 3.
Wait, there's a sequel?
Yeah, there's two Silent Hill movies.
Get out of town. Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And like there are people that are, you know, oh, that second Silent Hill movie, not great. Which is fine, whatever. I don't know if it had a subtitle. It was just called Silent Hill 2. Silent Hill Revelations. 3D. And it was in 3D.
Yeah.
yeah, I think that one was more based on Silent Hill 3. Because the Silent Hill storyline is very screwy. So Silent Hill 1 and 3 and 4 connect, and Silent Hill 2 is its own thing. So yeah, there's that. That's coming, I guess. Lots of Resident Evil. Not Resident Evil, Silent Hill. The Silent Hill 2 remake is PC and PS5 exclusive for a year. So more exclusives there.
Happy for the long suffering fans of this franchise. I know a lot of you guys were just like, where the fuck is Silent Hill? At least you're getting some stuff. I mean, you're getting, dude, yes. It all could be pretty good, right?
It all could be pretty good, or it could all be
I mean,
bad. Like, we hope that it is good.
Silent Hill 2, there's a good blueprint there for a remake, you know?
Yes.
Just make it like that, you're good, so.
Yeah, I
completely screw it up.
I think the other projects are more unknown, but also I think I find them more fascinating to me because we don't really know what they're going to be. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad the series is back. It is very weird that Konami is just like going all in again with games after almost a decade of doing absolutely nothing.
Man. Welcome back, I say. I mean, they had some great properties. Bring back Castlevania.
Did, yeah, give us Castlevania. I mean, the last Metal Gear game they did was not great.
Are these games going to be worth playing, though? Like, they let everybody who actually made games back
let
then
us,
leave.
Let us live in this hope for a moment.
Hope? No, I am against hope. I believe that hope is from weak-willed people. I like to look at the truth of the situation. The truth is that everybody who made games at Konami has left Konami.
That is true.
They don't actually have, like, I'm sure they've hired other people who make games, but have they made these kind of games? Are they used to making games at this level? Are they going to make the same sort of games that are going to make these fans happy?
That's the question, right? Like, I mean, Bloober Team, you know, they've done other horror stuff in the past. Some okay, it's a some good not fit. Great.
It's a good fit, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the medium definitely has a Silent Hill vibe to it, at the very least. The No-Code, who is doing the Silent Hill Townfall, they have done, like, adventure-type games before. Depends on what this game is. Like, I think there is a chance. These are not internal studios, is my understanding, Tony. So they have outsourced these to studios that seem to fit, at least on the surface.
Mm.
We'll see. But yeah, that's where Silent Hill is a little sketchy, right? Like, it doesn't actually have a great track record even internally in Konami. I think most people would say the first four games are really good, and then Shattered Memories is decent. Most of the other stuff in the series is not. But everybody looks back to, you know, Silent Hill 2, 3, and 4 as like being, you know, really high points of horror. And it never did Resident Evil numbers, but they are very different games still. And speaking of Resident Evil, real quick, they had a showcase today. Very short. They showed Resident Evil 4 off and some of that Resident Evil 8 third-person mode.
I'm so upset that I wish I knew that this third-person mode was coming, man. Because I played Resident Evil 8 over the summer.
You could have played it in third person.
And I so prefer Resident Evil in third person. It just feels right. You know what I mean? And I'm not gonna, you know, I don't want to play it again. I just played it. Like,
right.
You know? And I think I deleted it on top of it. So it's just like, yeah.
You have to re-download it.
I mean, next time I want to play that game, you know, maybe next year or the year after, I guess I will fucking get to try that mode out. Resident Evil 4 looks really good, though, guys, I thought.
Yeah?
Yeah, you guys, did you take a little peek at it?
I did not. I'd assume, like, I mean, Resident Evil 2 and 3 looked great.
Yeah.
The remakes of those, so I assume that they're working in the same engine. They know how to make good-looking stuff.
Yeah, and it, like, I think it looks better than those.
Okay.
It's weird because, like, I think Resident Evil 4 still looks pretty good for what it is, like... Still looks fine. Yeah. Like, you could tell it's an older game, but it still looks pretty fine. Like, this is, like, looked pretty stellar. It looks like they are, it's not just a graphical remake. Like, it's basically the same game, but, like, there'll be a little things here and there. Like, a little, like, you'll go in a house, and the house will have, like, an extra room, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's not 100% just the same game.
And you walk and shoot.
You can walk and shoot. Yeah, so like a little bit of, you know, modernize a little bit. I wonder how that's going to feel, though, because like that's part of the terror of that game. It's like you're planted when you're...
Yeah.
Like the game was just so finely tuned to begin with.
And the, yeah, like, the enemies you're fighting are, you know, they were slow and they were plodding towards you. So like you could hold your ground a little bit.
Yeah.
Before you had to run away and now... Scramble, like,
yeah.
Do they speed that up, though, give the villagers, like, a little bit more, you know, speed to their movements towards you? So you still have to move around a little bit.
I can't believe it, though. I own Resident Evil 4 and everything. I've played it a million times, and I'm still like, yeah, I think I'm going to buy this. Like, prettier looking Resident Evil 4, I think I'm in.
That's early next year, too.
Yeah.
Early next year is when all the games are coming, evidently.
It's like, at the very least, you know, it's a great time. Like, the game is just so good. Like, I'm getting myself a little excited here for it.
Oh, God.
I'm having some hope tonight, guys, after months of pessimism.
What do you have the date, Jeff? Do you know?
No, I think you're right, though, that it's early next year, like March or something like that.
So it's like, I mean, because Dead Space is also early next year, so it's like,
see, that one I'm less. Are you getting that?
Yeah, I'm. I think I am more excited for that than
really
than Resident Evil 4. But I like you. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. I prefer, you know, old style Resident Evil to more than like, you know, 4, 5, and 6. So
I do too.
Game, it's just
I do too. But I think that Resident Evil 4. Dude, have you played it like recently? Like played through that? Like,
no,
it's really good. Like,
I thought I had, but evidently, like, I own that game. I own that game like on everything, like 7 times. Right?
Every, like,
but I don't have any achievements for it.
Every level of that game, kind of like it's it, you know, it's a shooter basically. But every level of that game has some sort of spin, like some sort of scenario. Some sort of spin on that action that makes it interesting and that like lasts throughout an entire game that is not short. That's a long game.
Yeah, it's 15-20 hours. Yeah, it is a longer Resident Evil game.
But my thing with Dead Space is like, I don't think Dead Space is as good. I mean, it's good, but also it's like gonna be coming right after Callisto Prophecy or whatever it's called.
Protocol.
Which, you know, just makes you more excited because that's new. You know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah, like I'm looking forward to both those games. So yeah, so that's that. And then real briefly, we talked about the CMA stuff in the UK multiple times now. Microsoft did release their responses to the CMA, and in those responses, they have, per their numbers, which we don't know how accurate they are. I assume they'd have to be sourcing from publicly used numbers, because the CMA can check all that stuff. They are clearly in third place in console sales, and they say that Sony has doubled up on them over the PS4 and 5 generations over the Xbox One and Series systems. And in there also, they revealed that the Sony contract with Activision prevents Activision from releasing Call of Duty on Game Pass. At all. So,
like, ever?
Well, as long as the contract is active.
Which is, like, 3 years?
Yeah, three more years or something like that, yeah. So, yeah, that's that was an interesting tidbit. I don't know, I have no idea where this is going currently. They're soliciting public opinions currently, so if anybody's read any of the Twitter comments, anytime news on this comes, it's just going to be a shit show. Cause, you know, fans on both sides are just there's no logic behind their arguments. It's just
no
blind fanboyism. Like, but so yeah, and I guess there's a rumor out there that Sony was supposed to have a showcase this week, but they have held off and will not be doing one in the near future, because they view that it may paint them in a, there some of their arguments to the CMA against Microsoft, it may undermine their position. That seems absurd to me that they would hold off showing new product. And if they have licensed games out like they have with Silent Hill 2, companies like Konami or Square they're going to go and talk about their games that they're releasing. Like, Sony can't stop them from doing that. So it seems absurd that Sony would be like, no, we're not going to have a showcase of our products that we want you to buy, because we're really, really invested in making sure Microsoft doesn't buy Activision. I think some of these conspiracy theories are getting a little out of hand.
Yeah, because like, that's not happening. Like, everyone has approved this deal. Sony can't stop it at this point.
Right.
So,
I mean, the CMA is doing what what they're supposed to be doing. Some of their comments have maybe been a little weird, like,
yeah,
and seemingly tilted towards Sony's favor, but ultimately I think this goes through. It's going to go through here. It's going to go through here, like with the FTC in the United States. There may be restrictions put on it, but I don't know. I think, you know, we just got to let the whole shit play out, and another corporation is going to gobble up another corporation at some point. So,
like, happens all the time.
All right. Let's talk some games. Tony. I've seen some angles of some camera angles of Madden, and I don't know how you play that way, but you're still completing passes. So.
Well, it's dumb luck. I have no idea how that happens, but and this has happened to me several times where I have played almost entirely in the be a player mode. I can't remember what it's called, but so I'm playing as a quarterback. My team will come off the field, so the automated thing will come up for, like, your defense, which shows you how the results of play. And then you'll come back onto the field, and you'll choose a play. And then instead of putting you into the, you know, the classic Madden view that everyone knows and loves that you've seen, like, it's from behind the quarterback where you can see the whole field.
Yeah.
It'll just give you some cockamamie angle, like, from the top of the stadium, or this clip that I showed you guys the other day was like from some random part of the sideline, which wasn't even involved from the play. I'm like, okay, well, I can't see what's happening, so I guess I'll just snap the ball. And I snap the ball, and it gives me this weird angle from, like, the defensive side of the ball, and shows my quarterback, who, on taking the snap, runs like three steps towards the line of scrimmage. Now, the only thing I know at this point is, like, all I know is my quarterback's about to die, and I know the play call. And of course, I knew there was one fly route. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to hit the button and pray. So I throw the ball completely blind because I can't see the receiver, can't see the defense, have no idea what's going to happen. My receiver has like three steps on the cornerback. Like, he's way past him. He catches the ball, runs for an easy touchdown. But of course, the angle on the touchdown is all wrong, because it's showing from, like, as the player's running by. So it's a, like, some weird, impossible angle that you could never see. But yeah. This is
just in that mode though, right?
I hope. I have had so many problems with the game. I haven't really explored all the modes. It might not be.
You're just playing a game with somebody, like, or whatever. It's just going to be the standard.
No, I have seen tons of bugs. Like, I've been on the map. Yeah. It is chock full of all sorts of insanity.
And that mode generally, like, I mean, you're only controlling the quarterback, but it generally controls like Madden.
Yeah, no, it's basically just Madden. You're just playing.
And also, pretty popular mode, right? I would imagine a lot of people play it.
It's quite popular.
It's like, if I get Madden, I just literally will play a season, or just literally just play games. Like, I'll play whatever that Monday night game is, I'll do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't really get into the, like, what is that, franchise or whatever mode you're playing.
I like to play as franchise, which has been bugged, because it has a very similar bug to the one that I was experiencing, where you get to the end of the season and it won't let you progress to the next one. So I was waiting for the game to be patched. My player would, like, previously, I got to the end of the season, I would get a contract offer, and every time I accepted the offer, the game would crash. So I couldn't move on to the next season because the game would crash every single time. So they patched Madden last week. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to try it again. So my player had played his entire first season with the Indianapolis Colts as their quarterback. So I looked through the contract offers. All right, I'm going to accept the offer from the Colts. We're going to come back. We're going to see if this game will work. So I'm sitting there, fingers crossed, and it worked. The game didn't crash. It let me proceed into the offseason as a member of the Colts. And then I... I'm like, okay, let's review the roster. So I sim through the entire off season to see, you know, I want to see who's retired. Did they get anybody? And then I look at, like, okay, I'm looking at the players on the roster. I look at the quarterbacks. I'm like, Matt Ryan, he was with the Colts, but, like, he was traded to make room for me in, like, the storyline. Like, why is he back on the team? And then I look at the running backs. I'm like, Christian McCaffrey. Like, wait, he's not on the Colts? What the fuck is going on here? I had accepted an offer from the Colts. The game put me on the fucking Panthers. They stuck me on the wrong team.
You signed it. I am now part of the... Somehow you're like, but I'm in Carolina.
Yes.
Doesn't make sense.
At this point, I'm like, all right, well, fine. I want to play some Madden. And then, of course, that crazy, crazy thing that I was talking about happened. And then the game just crashed twice in the span of 20 minutes. I'm like, all right, I'm done with Madden. I can't play this game. It's not stable. Like, there's weird stuff happening. It's not putting me on the right team. Why would I ever play this game again? It's just bad.
Yeah, and we're now, this is the third Madden on these systems. So, yeah. Like, it should work now.
Right. They didn't change engines. Like, it's not like they're starting from scratch again. This is, like, the fifth Madden on this particular engine. There's really no excuse now for the game to be as bad as it is. And to be so much technically worse than last year's Madden. Like, how is this even possible? But here we are.
So disappointing, too, because it's like, you know, with Madden dying before this game came out, like, he is he's the cover artist. He's, you know, it's a tribute to him, and it's just like a broken shit show.
And it's, what, about 2 months since release?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of it. They've had a bunch of patches come out, and these major game-breaking issues. Like, this thing where you couldn't proceed past the first season of your franchise, they just fixed it.
Imagine if they took, like, an extra year. I know they can't do it, because it's a sports game, but, like, imagine.
There's this mode where you can, like, play, like, highlights from each week of the season, right? They're still on week one.
It sounds like it would be a cool mode.
Hey, you could replay all those great Chicago games, Jeff.
Like
that,
yeah.
That Washington Chicago game from last week.
Yeah.
I could replay my quarterback dying for the last 4 weeks, so.
That's true.
It's kind of simulating for you what it's like to be Justin Fields. You can't read the field, and you just, what you should do is just keep the ball and run.
Yep, you can't see for that either. Oh, what a nightmare Madden is.
Don't play it. Don't play it.
I was really close, right? Like, the you gave us that video, and Madden has gone on sale. It was like, yeah. I think it was down to, like, it was under $45. So, you know, it's a $70 game.
Wait,
like, it's getting there. It's like the price is almost there. That Tony posted that video. It was like, it is not there yet. It is, the price is way lower. May not be a price at all. It may be like, don't purchase this until it's free the week before the Super Bowl.
That's right. So, yeah, that's enjoy playing on Game Pass.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe it'll be good. Probably not. Sounds like they're not in any rush to fix it.
No.
Speaking of sports games, Tony, you also you purchased NBA 2K23?
23, yes. I have not had a chance to play it yet. Okay. I did that today. So
I am interested in hearing about that, because I hear, like, you could start a franchise in, like, the 80s. And it looks like the television presentation, all of that looks like the 80s, and you can actually carry it through past today. So be interested once you start playing it, how all that looks and
yeah, feels.
It's an interesting approach. Like, you can, I think it would be really cool to, like, play something in, like, 1985 with, like, Jordan, and it looks like you're playing on, you know, like, what, how we would watch TV, but clear, because, you know, when you watched it on TV, it was all grainy at that point. But
right.
It would be neat to have like that presentation, the old school graphics on the you know, for the scorers and stuff. Be neat. All right, well, we look forward to NBA 2K23 when you get a chance to play that. I played some Scorn. Jeff, I know you played about 3 seconds of Scorn.
It looked like such my jam, but then, like, wandering around that first level, I got so bored. Like,
were you able to get out of that room?
It was I was in a giant level, it felt like. So I don't know if that is one big room. But I was not able to do much. I got, like, one ability. I would go up to all these different machines I found and could not figure out a goddamn thing to do with any of them. Like, it was, yep. Like, yeah. One looks like, I'm supposed to pick something up and drop it somewhere else, but there's nothing there. And I'm like, okay, well, where do I get the egg or whatever the fuck I need?
Yes.
Like, so I did that for, like, 15, 20 minutes, and I said, hey, I'm not having fun with this, and it looks like really drab. Like, the art style's cool, but it looks like so gray and kind of washed out. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck this game. And I just deleted it. I got, you know, I ain't fucking around no more. You better fucking impress me. So, but anyways,
I mean, it's a Game Pass game, right? Like, that seems to be
how. So cool. Like, it looked like I was like, oh, like, I like first person puzzle type games like this. Like, and it does have a cool art style, like kind of a H.R. Geiger, you know.
Very much. Like, it is like exploring like a world that is like an alien hive.
So I was like, I wanted to like it, but like just very immediately I was like, oh, this, no. But you played through it, you said, huh?
I have played all the way through it. I beat it. Yes, that first puzzle is it is a little tedious. And I also wandered around. It took me about an hour to get out of that room.
Yeah.
And the game's not long. It's like, if you know, if I was able to move through that room at a normal pace, the game's probably, you know, under 5 hours. Like, it ultimately took me 5 hours to finish it. So probably like 4 or so if you can figure out the puzzle in that room first. You do have to find an egg.
Yeah.
You had the idea. Because, I mean, everything's kind of like shaped like that. Yeah. You have to get that thing on your wrist, and then you have to unlock an elevator, and it takes you upstairs where you're then doing like a...
Yeah,
you're moving eggs. Did you move the eggs and get the
I
one?
I did get up there, but then I was like, I remember exactly what you're talking about. I got up on an elevator. There was a big room, and I had like an egg type thing, I think, in it. And then I was like, well, how am I getting it from here to there? And I was like, you know what?
Fuck yeah, you. You're basically playing Tetris, like moving these eggs around to get the ones. There's one specific pair of eggs that you need to move so you can get one of them downstairs. Thing about, like, this game does not explain anything. There's zero dialogue.
I think that's cool. Yeah.
There's no instructions. There's like, the only instructions are when you pause the game, it brings up like your controller. And like, you know, it tells you what the controller buttons do. Yeah. That's it. Like, there is no, like, it's just go.
I love all that. You guys know that's, like, kind of my shit. Yeah. Like, and a great example of this is another first-person puzzle game, The Witness. You know, but, like, I feel like The Witness, like, kind of on-ramps you into the experience better than this did. Like,
just this throws, just, like,
throws you into a pretty complex puzzle right away, you know? Yeah. Like, you don't have the skills yet. Like, you're just like, all right, I know how to do something with this machine.
And it's arguably the most complex puzzle in the game.
Oh, really? And it was kind of hard to, like, wrap your head around the space. Like, it's such a big space. Yes. Like, there's multiple rooms and this and that. And you're just like, all right, man, this is kind of... And I was just like, you know what? Fuck you. Don't be Bayonetta in a week or two. Like, I don't give a shit.
I think once you get out of that room, it becomes a little more straightforward and linear. Like, it never explains anything to you.
I like that, though.
You kind of have an understanding of where you're supposed to go. The areas are big, like they get very big. But I think, like, the puzzles themselves, like, you start to get a handle on them, and they seem much simpler. You start understanding, okay, like there's this room where there's three of these egg shaped things, or you know, there's these things that look like the eggs in Alien where the facehuggers jump out, but you're using them as batteries and stuff, and like there's like, you know, you can visualize what's happening when they drop you into that first room. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I can't really wrap my head around, like, I know that I need to get something into this carriage thing.
Feels like
do something with it.
Like, I don't want the game to spell things out to me, but I feel like you should start with like small rooms.
Yeah.
Make it almost feel like Portal. We're going to teach you one idea. Right. Which is, then go in the next room. All right. Here's a new idea. Right. And then it expands. And then when you get to a bigger room, you have all the tool set. Like, you know.
It does that. It doesn't do it till after you get that room. So it's like, and there's a reason for that. Like, narratively, spoilers for Scorn. After you get out of that room, you die. Like, the character you're controlling dies. And then you take, when you start the next level, Act 2, you are a different character. And you are in a different, like, you're in a different area. And the puzzles become simpler, the rooms are smaller, and you are progressing up to that point. And that's why I don't think any of the puzzles get as difficult as that first one. It's just like, it's hard to wrap your head around because you haven't played any of it yet. You start getting more tools, like every level you play from there on, you're starting to get different tools. You get this piston thing that can be used to, like, you know, unlock doors or attack things with it. There is some combat. I don't know if you've read any of the reviews, the combat, like, people really rip in on the combat. And I think that's just because, and if I remember correctly, when Mirror's Edge came out, Tony, you were like, they gave me a gun. Like, it should feel good to use the gun. Like,
yes.
So, like, you're not, it, like, both in Mirror's Edge and this, it's like, maybe just leave the gun out.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have it if the game is not.
Well, so, like, I think that's where people fall here, though, is because you do get guns. It's, they try to fight with this piston thing, which you can do, but it's like, you know, trying to, you know, kill something with a straw.
Yeah.
And I learned real quick that the enemies, like, you don't have to engage with them. There's these, like, dog things that are there. They're not chasing you, so if you let them walk their path, you can walk by them. But, you know, you feel like, oh, this is a weapon. I can use this as a weapon, because that's actually, like, the second thing they show you when you get that piston is you can attack these fleshy things to get them away from you. And I think people are just like, oh, I have to engage with these. I have to engage in the combat. It's like, if you back off from the combat, you're actually in a better position. Because once you do get weaponry, once you do get, you get like a pistol, then you get a shotgun, and eventually you get like a grenade launcher. But the pistol and the shotgun are what you have for most of the game. You don't get a lot of ammo, though. So you don't want to engage. Like, you want to use it in emergency situations to get yourself away, but it's not there to, like, you're not there to clear out a room of enemies.
Yeah.
And I think people were playing it and like, oh, like, well, I should fight. Like, that's what this is, right? It plays like a first-person shooter. I have this weapon that looks like it's some sort of gun thing. I should kill everything. And it's not that type of game, even though it looks like that type of game. That's more on, it's very much like that first puzzle. That's on the developers for not presenting it in a way where it's like, you should avoid the enemies instead of trying to engage with them. Ultimately, I liked it. I came away thinking, like, this is a fun game, but I can definitely see where, you know, like, you were like 15 minutes in, you're like, this isn't working. I know a buddy of ours, he used to do the retro podcast at Vagary. He did not, like, he played it for like an hour and bounced off of it. It's going to be very divisive.
I think
don't think it's worth $40, but I like it.
I think if I played longer, maybe I would have liked it. But I'm just like, I got with games lately. I got no patience for something I just like do not like. I'm just like very. I've become very picky with games in a way. So like, I know what I like, and like this seemed like, but this did seem like a genre or a type of game that would be like right up my alley. But like just right off the bat, I was just like, all right, man, I've been wandering around here and just figuring out. No, like, I had an idea. Like, obviously, I need something for this machine, but I don't know how to get one thing to the other thing. I was just like, ah, fuck you. Like,
yep. No, I totally get it. Like, and I was, I think I was like right on that edge. Like, I had gotten out of that room after an hour, and I was like, I'll give it a second. And then, like, once I got into, after that part, like, it's like, all right, now it's clicking and I liked playing it. And but yeah, I could, it does not set a good first impression, and it's not going to be a game for everybody. Like, people are not going to like love on this. I think the environments look great. Like, everything is, it all has that Geiger look to it, like an alien hive, but everything is like, all of it, all the mechanics and everything are all organic.
Biomechanical. So
like, yeah, it's like really neat looking. And when you use something, you see how it operates. So it's like, it's really, really cool how they like designed everything in that. But getting to that point is maybe a little tedious.
Or I'm just impatient. I don't know.
I mean, you're not the only person that has made that assessment of the game. So.
Yeah.
It's a particular type of thing. All right, Jeff, tell us about Ghostbusters. Which I'm unfortunately forgetting this. Spirits Within, is that
Spirits,
that
Spirits Unleashed? I think.
Okay.
I had no idea this game was coming out. I had never heard of it, so that was a nice surprise. But it's, you know, it's one of those asymmetrical multiplayer games like Friday the 13th. And I think the developer of this is Illphonic, which I believe worked on Friday the 13th. I'm a little confused because the developers of Friday the 13th, as far as I know, is Gunn, and they're making the new Texas Chainsaw game. But I think Illphonic was... Anyways... But this is a new game that's like that. It's like, you know, like Friday the 13th, where you got, I think it's four Ghostbusters facing off one player who is a ghost.
Makes sense. That's why, that explains why they sent us five codes. So.
Yeah, and I think it's, for one, compared to like Friday the 13th, it's like way more polished feeling. And I think it's fun. Like, I think it's like, I like this type of game, and I like how the ones I've played so far kind of adapt to the source material that they're using. And I want millions of these games. I can't wait for Texas Chainsaw. I can't wait for Killer Clowns from Outer Space. With this one, I'm not a Ghostbusters fan, really. Like, I liked the first movie when I was a kid, like, a lot. Like, I thought it was really great. But, like, I just don't care about Ghostbusters anymore, like, since I was a kid. And so, I think if, like, you're a fan, like, that's the thing about, like, the Friday 13th one. Like, I'm a huge fan of that. And that game, like, had so many, like, it was so fan service-y, like, and so many cool details and Easter eggs. I'm gonna miss all of that in this because I just don't care anymore, and I haven't seen the original Ghostbusters in probably 15 years at least, right? But the game itself is pretty fun. Like, I'm enjoying it. Enjoying it, you know, you gotta learn the ins and outs, and so the way it works is if you're Ghostbuster, you are trying to find the ghosts in, you know, whatever level you're in, and you gotta, you know, what is it, tether him with the fucking beams,
yeah,
and drag him into a trap. But there's like three rifts around the level. They're like respawn points for the ghost. So if you catch him, he will pop out of one of those rifts.
So if you catch him in it with your proton laser thing.
Yeah, and you put him in the trap. He basically gets three respawns. So when he pops out of the rift somewhere else, that rift is gone.
So it's it's not how you would actually like actual Ghostbusters, right? Like if they grab you, they suck you in the trap, you're stuck in the trap. Like
this is
giving the ghost like more chances.
Yeah, and once he's out, then the last time you trap him, that's it. Once you're out of rifts or whatever. But at the same time, and these rifts are like hidden in objects throughout the level, and you have to use the PKE meter or whatever. Mm-hmm. One, like the meter will start to go off if you're near the ghost. Two, it'll go off if you're near one of these rifts. They'll be hidden in like a lamp or whatever, right? And then you shoot the lamp with your beam and the rift appears, and then you could kill the rift. So like what I'm trying to do, because I figure this is like one way for me to be the most helpful. I'm running around the level. I'm looking for these rifts. And again, if you find all three rifts, you kill them all. Then when you trap the ghost, that's it. So you don't even have to fucking... Otherwise, you have to catch them three times, right? And catching a ghost is hard. So that's kind of what you're trying to do as the Ghostbusters. As the ghost, it's a little weird because at first I did not get the tutorial for the ghost. Like they teach you, they run you through like a tutorial of how to play the game early on, and then they're like, go play. And then they're like, for your first few rounds, you're not going to be able to play as the ghost. So we want you to get your bearings or whatever. And then right away I got something they got to iron out or whatever. Like I was getting picked as the ghost. And I was like, all right, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be like do. Or
I bet with the matchmaking, it was putting you against full teams that were looking for one other player.
Maybe, yeah.
I would think like if they were gonna be like, you can't, you know, we're not gonna let you play, that they would just set you up with AI. Like that seems like maybe bad planning, but they probably don't have AI for the other Ghostbusters or the ghosts. So,
yeah. I don't know. But, like, eventually, I went back to the firehouse, and then I got a tutorial to how to play as the ghost. And as the ghost, you're just trying to, like, fully haunt the level that you're in. Like, there's a meter that builds up. But I was like, all right, but, like, what am I supposed to be doing? Like, you know what I mean? Like, basically, I think you build up the haunt meter, and since I've done the tutorial, I have not gotten to play as the ghost, but you build up the meter, I think, in two different ways. Like, there's civilians running all around the level, and you can scare the shit out of them, and if you scare them enough that they run out of the level, I think that builds up the meter. You could also haunt objects that are all over the place. Like, I don't know, you see a candlestick and you hit B on it to haunt it, and then it just starts floating around the level, and that increase is the haunt of the level. I think that's kind of it. And then, like, maybe when you attack the Ghostbusters, that makes the meter go up a little bit. So you're basically causing havoc, but there is, like, kind of specific things you want to be doing to raise that meter. And that would have been nice to know the first few times I'm playing as the ghost.
So are you like as the ghost? Like, I mean, I guess you only played it a couple times, but are you trying to like mostly hide from the Ghostbusters?
Yeah, you don't want. I don't think you really want to fuck with them that much. Like, you got some pretty powerful moves.
So it's kind of the reverse from like Friday 13th.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
it's like where. Jason, or what's it, Dead by Daylight, is that the other big one, where the monster is hunting the other players, but you're not hunting the Ghostbusters, they're hunting you.
I thought the same thing.
Hide and seek thing.
I thought the same thing, and when you play Friday 13th, like those camp counselors that have like almost nothing that they could do to Jason, and these counselors can fuck you up. And but if you're playing someone who's good at the ghost, they could be very effective at hurting you as well and getting away. And but I was just like every time when I played as the ghost and I would run into the ghost, they fucking whooped my ass. Like I was just like, what am I supposed to do? Like, there's things you can do. Like you have some like cool attacks, and then you kind of want to run. Like you want to like throw some slime at them, like throw some little ghost minions at them, and then you can run off. But I was like, I can't. They just like stayed on my ass. I'm like, every time I was fighting a ghost, like he just seemed to fucking disappear somewhere. Well, you could possess objects too. You can besides just haunting them, you could just possess a statue and just like stay in it, like basically you're hiding. Now, if someone pulls out their PKE meter, they're gonna like they'll find you, right? But so that's how the ghosts were like disappearing me all the time. I was running past them because they were
they hid in the sea.
Yeah.
Are there different ghosts, or are you just playing a Slimer?
So, yeah, there is. There's lots of things you unlock as you level up, and that's one of them is a different type of ghost. So. Okay. I don't think I'll be getting a new ghost for a while. That's like a big unlock, right? But yeah, there is, and they'll have different, you know, special moves or whatever. I'm trying to think what else you could do as the ghosts. Oh, so those rifts. Let's see you see, and you'll kind of be alerted visually to this that like Ghostbusters are like fighting, like trying to destroy one of the rifts. You could run right by, pick up one of the rifts, run away with it, and hide it in an object somewhere else, which you're gonna want to do because those are basically your lives, right?
Right.
But then you're exposing yourself to attack from the Ghostbusters. So this kind of just goes to like what I was saying at the top. It's like they found interesting ways to integrate or to adapt the source material to this type of game. You know, they made it, like you said, like a cool, like, kind of hide-and-seek type thing out of this asymmetrical multiplayer. Like, I'm enjoying it. I'm terrible at it. I'm mostly, like, I realize, my strength here is to, like, eliminate these rifts for the most part. Hopefully, like, the next time I get to be a ghost, I feel more empowered. Because that's the one thing about, like, Friday 13th, it's like you rarely get to be Jason, but when you do, even if you suck at being Jason, like you just feel so all powerful, and like it's just, yeah, it's just like an awesome power trip. I don't think the ghost will ever quite be like that, but like you have lots of tricks up your sleeve with them, you know. I think it's neat, and I think it'll be fun to play it with other people who are communicating, because if you work together, you know, you could really whip that ghost's ass. Because, like, you could, like, if we were all playing together, we could be like, all right, Jeff, you're, or whoever, you're the guy that's going to throw the trap out,
right,
and open the trap. Because if you're facing a ghost on your own and you're hitting them with the beam and then you throw out the trap, well, you're going to stop hitting your beam for a second and the ghost is gone. He's going to run. Like, you can't do both at the same time. So now that like I'm getting a little more familiar with the game, I'm used to it. As soon as if I feel like if I'm close to the ghost, I'm throwing that fucking trap out and opening it, and then hoping I could tether him after, because like that's the only way it's gonna work solo. And that's another hard thing about it is like you don't just throw the trap out; you have to step on the pedal to open it. So if you don't do that, you're just throwing a thing on the ground. It's not doing anything. So it's a little tricky. A little tricky wrangling these ghosts, but if you have a group doing it, you guys could really work together. It's like, you know, you two use a beam, I'll throw the trap out, and then we'll use our last guy. The PKE meter has a stun on it, so we could have that guy stun him, the other two guys get him tethered, and then they pull him towards the trap while the other guy opens the trap. Like, that's how you gotta work it as a group. I think you could really fuck the ghost up where almost you'd be like, I hope I don't get picked to be the ghost.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it with you. Maybe once Earl gets back, we can all get on and
I'll play it anytime. I think it's pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, we'll be giving that more of a shot. I was surprised when they sent us the codes, especially since I asked for 5 of them. But
there's my review, 7 out of 10.
Illphonic did develop the Friday the 13th game. Gun Media published it.
Okay, but then I guess Gun is developing Texas Chainsaw now? If I got that right.
Sumo Digital is developing Texas Chainsaw for Gun Media.
Interesting. Okay.
Illphonic, who's
Killer Clowns then?
Oh, I don't know. I can look that up. But Illphonic also did the Predator game like this, Predator Hunting Grounds.
Yeah, which I did not play.
Yeah, I think it was only on PlayStation 4 and PC. So this seems to be their wheelhouse, Illphonic. So
I really dig it. It's again, I will always love Friday the 13th more because it's just I love that, like being in that world and all that. But this feels more polished for sure. It's like they've definitely upped their game on that front, and it's cool spin. I think you probably got it right. Is that like the Ghostbusters are way more empowered than the camp counselors were, but I think it feels like a little evenly kind of balanced here more. But as it should, like you know, like Jason in Friday the 13th is just unstoppable. Killing machine, you know, so it makes sense. Like, that's I love this idea. I want this type of game for every like thing that I love. Again, I hope they make millions of games like this. Like, and even though I'm not a Ghostbusters fan, I think this is like a really neat take on it. Like, they did good.
That Killer Clowns game is developed by TerraVision Games.
Yeah,
I don't know who they are. But is that another one of these like 4v1?
I don't know. Give me all of them. Do everything. Do a Nightmare on Elm Street. I don't give a fuck. Figure it out. I mean
that could be fun too, right? You have so many different locales you can use for, and actually you can do anything with Friday 13th with the Nightmare on Elm Street because it's all in your head, so the levels can get crazy and wild.
I am day one for Texas Chainsaw and Killer Clowns. I cannot wait, and I probably would have been eyeing this if I was even aware of it, but I somehow wasn't.
It only popped on our radar because it hit our email box, and I was like, "That seems interesting. Let's see if they would send it to us."
Thank you,
Ophonic, and whoever your PR team is. I am forgetting when it will be mentioned when I do the actual review. Jeff likes it though, so.
Hey, I did my homework. I thought we were supposed to be on top of this. I thought we were.
I just didn't get a chance to get at it yet. So,
it's good. I think you guys will dig it if you dig this type of shit.
Neat. So one of the other another game I played and one that we got sent for code. Just one though. It's a game called Unusual Findings, which is it's a point and click adventure game. Set in the 80s. It kind of looks like a really good looking like Super Nintendo game. Like it's pixelated but like very detailed. And it's kind of has a Stranger Things vibe where you play as you're controlling this one kid, but he has two buddies and something crashes in the woods in your small town and you go explore it and you guys think it's aliens or something. It seems very inspired by Stranger Things, but also everything about the 80s. Like they have licensed music, like licensed 80s music. It seems really cool. There are posters from movies that are pixelated, but you know what those movies are, like Back to the Future poster, They Live poster, Return of the Jedi. It's just really cool nostalgia, like all the way through. It's all completely voice acted. The puzzles are kind of traditional point and click stuff. It's like put this item with this item and, you know, it'll create something else for you to use. So early on, like one of the early puzzles is your dad grounds you because you and your buddies like blew up the neighbor's garden or something. So he grounds you, takes away your cartridges for your Nintendo. But your buddy is in the treehouse in the next house, and he's like throwing rocks at your window. And he's like, hey, like our other buddy has like figured out this descrambler, and like we can go watch like, you know, we can go watch new, you know, adult movies at his house once he's finished it. Yeah, it's like, but like something like, you know, like teenage kids would be like, yeah, I got a descrambler, come watch boobs. Like, it's very, very much like that. Like, but like to get over there, like you can't just grab onto this rope, so you have to kind of make a pulley. So it's you take your bike pegs and then this thing from an old toy, and you create like this thing to make your zip line over to the treehouse. Very simple puzzle, but, you know, traditional point and click shit. I so far think it's pretty neat. I'm only through like what I'd consider the first act, but I'm liking it. Like it's hitting the right notes. Feels very Stranger Things-y, but which is, I guess, with the name Unusual Findings, kind of plays at that as well. But that's out there. I think it's like $20 or something. I'm gonna finish it, and there'll be an actual review, two actual reviews on the site for the first time in years. But yeah, we're doing stuff here. You guys play anything else this week?
I don't think so.
No.
I've really been not touching much, and when I do touch, I'm like, eh.
So, and then some things you touch just disappear. It's odd.
Yeah,
I go, here's my work for the day.
I didn't touch it, dude. I swear to you guys, something happened. Like, I did not touch it.
Guys, I got this giant pile of mail, and I don't know where it came from.
You know, it's so weird, too. It's like, it's in a cage. Like, they all come in cages. The mail I'm talking about is so not interesting to anyone listening to this, but the mail I'm talking about is the pre-sorted letters. Like, so it's like machine sorted in the order of your route. And that's 90% of your mail. So I sorted the stuff that was not machine sorted. Then I went to go grab my this stuff, the 90% of my mail, and the cage had been opened. And, you know, so in that cage is my route 1, route 2, and route 3. Route 2 and 3 were still sitting there. My route was gone. I'm like, so this cage has been opened. Someone removed my route's mail. It was not me. And I never saw it again. And I'm just like, what the fuck happened? I swear, unless I'm literally losing my fucking mind, I don't know what else to say. But it was not me. Anyways, it's a little aside that no one's going to care about here.
Tony, did you get to play any more Chivalry 2, or did you get to play any of it at all?
I did. I played through the tutorial, and then it dumps you into a match immediately. I think I may have been playing against bots. If I wasn't, then my like 25-3 KD ratio.
Amazing.
I'm certainly good at this game that I've only played once. It feels like a game that was meant to be played with a mouse. When you're playing on the controller, the swings are very odd. There's three. There's like an overhead swing, there's like a sideways swing, and then there's like a jab with your weapon. And then you can jerk the controller while you're swinging to cause like arcs or to cause like the move to go farther. And so it just kind of feels like mouse gestures. Like I've had in other similar games that were just PC based.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels kind of odd on a controller. I would like to play. It was fun. It's definitely fun. Like the guys are like shouting and like the combat is super chaotic. With people just dying everywhere and heads being chopped off and like it looks awesome. it's fun. But I only played through one match after I made it through the tutorial. The tutorial is a little long. It walks you probably through too much stuff because I couldn't remember half of it by the time I got to the end. But I mean, it walks you through all the different ways you can swing your sword and how to throw, like you're walking around with a torch or something, you can throw torches at people, or how to block and what to do against the guy with the shield. That just kind of walks you through all that stuff step by step. It's not the kind of tutorial I love, though. Like, it doesn't feel organic. It feels kind of forced, which is why you don't remember any of it. Like, if you were walking me through an actual combat, and it's like, okay, now it's time to block. As opposed to just like, okay, here's an enemy, block for a little while. Just doesn't feel good. I enjoyed the match that I played. It was hilarious. Guys are like shouting, like there's all these weird battle cries. It's like, I don't want to die, and that kind of stuff. Like people saying really silly things while heads are being chopped off near them. So kind of fun.
Cool. Glad you enjoyed that, the little bit you played of it so far.
Yeah.
Gotham Knights comes out tomorrow.
To stellar reviews. Oh no.
So
are they out?
I saw an IGN 5 out of 10.
Yeah, and I think GameSpot gave it a 4 out of 10. GameSpot has been extremely harsh in the reviewing recently, so I don't know if that's 5 from IGN seems extremely low.
Yes.
It's not great reviews, especially from the big outlets. I think it's hovering at like a 70 overall on Metacritic, but I think Earl's gonna get that, and so we might have some of that next week.
He'll get it and not play it like every other goddamn game. Getting Earl, I love you.
Mario and Rabbids is out now. I don't know. I like the first one. I just don't know if I have any interest right now in it.
I've heard good things. The reviews are good.
Yeah, the reviews are like it's way better, which is like got me like.
Maybe
if I don't buy it, I can like actually have like I can ask for something for Christmas that I actually want, and then I'll be excited about.
And I think for me, like because it's an Ubisoft game, I know that in a couple months it will be on sale.
Yeah,
right.
The first one goes on sale way cheap too, like $10 or less. So.
Yep. Yeah, I might wait a little bit on it. Just
I'm not like dying to play it. It's like you said,
my kids super want it, so it's sitting on the
table
right here. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Then New Tales from the Borderlands is out. I don't know if there's reviews out for that. I am interested in seeing what they have to say about that because that's being developed by Gearbox. It's not by Telltale. I don't even know if it's going to be the same type of game as what Tales from the Borderlands was, which was a traditional Telltale game, but you know, one of their better ones. So that's out. Bayonetta 3 next week, but I think that's actually after we record. So
pretty excited though.
Oh, that's and Modern Warfare 2 next week too.
Oh shit. For real?
Yeah. It's same day as Bayonetta 3.
I think I am going to get a Call of Duty, but maybe not. Maybe right I'll wait till I'm done with Bayonetta at least.
Yeah, I mean, there's no real reason to buy both if you're not going to play them both right away.
Spread these like morsels out that we've been getting this year.
About a week after that, God of War Ragnarok comes out. So Sony will be playing that. Will as well. Then it might be slim pickings for the rest of the year.
we got Callisto
in December. Yeah.
Is there Midnight anything else? The
Who? Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot about that. So that's the same day as Callisto Protocol in December.
What is Midnight Suns?
The Marvel game.
Marvel game.
The strategy game.
Oh yeah, no, never mind.
It's a look. Visually, it looks like XCOM, but it's card based. Is that right, Tony?
Yeah, supposedly cards are involved somehow.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. That's a weird day. That's Callisto Protocol, Marvel's Midnight Suns, and Need for Speed Unbound, which Need for Speed, I don't know if we talked about that. That was just announced like a week ago, yeah. And it's coming out real soon. So that it could be great, or it could be a nightmare.
I feel like they would have made a bigger deal about it if it was good.
I would think so as well, but yeah. we'll see on that one. Not much. I mean, there's I enjoy the Supermassive Dark Pictures games. There's one in November for that, but not a lot of Callisto Protocol and God of War are the next, like maybe the last two big games for the year.
Dark Frontiers.
What was that?
Nothing.
Oh, right. That when is that, Jeff?
I think it's I think it's soon, man.
Sonic.
I think it's like early November, and I keep forgetting that like Halloween season's almost over.
It's the day before God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah. What day!
November 8th.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Are you? Are you?
Yeah, ready? I am. So, yes. So, yeah, I got some stuff. Man, maybe Call of Duty might wait till like Black Friday, something like that.
Yeah. All right.
We'll drop then, right? Maybe, no?
Sure.
$10 off.
Yeah, Call of Duty doesn't ever drop much, so.
Not right away, usually. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but even, like, they're still selling their old games for, you know, like their old games for $20 a pop.
Yeah.
They don't, I mean, you can get, like, I think we got Vanguard like early last year on sale. So they will drop. It's just, it's not the same as like other games.
I do think that, Bayonetta 3 is going to be pretty amazing. Just throwing it out there. They worked on it for 16 years.
That's true.
For like a 4-hour action game.
Is it only 4 hours long?
I don't know.
That's how
they're not like long me. Games. They're like, you know, they're pretty
right,
short.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will be back next week. Definitely with some Ghostbusters. Amongst some other things.
I'm going to go bust some ghosts right now.
All right, well, enjoy, Jeff. But before you go, say goodnight.
Goodnight.